Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition on this Friday afternoon on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. Coming up a little later today, I'll be speaking with soprano Dawn Upshaw, highly acclaimed for her singing. She is coming to the Queen City for a recital to open the 85th season of Chamber Music Cincinnati. She'll talk about her work and the program she's bringing to Cincinnati. And coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll be talking about the Great Outdoor Weekend, the 11th annual Great Outdoor Weekend, taking place in the 8 counties of the greater Cincinnati region. A lot of fun activities for the family in the great outdoors. You'll hear about that as well on Cincinnati Edition. But first, the Cincinnati Yale Club, the oldest Yale University alumni organization in the world, is celebrating its 150th anniversary with programs today and tomorrow. Here to share the history of the club and how its members have helped influence and shape Cincinnati through the last 150 years are Isaac Celia, founder and artistic director of the Queen City Chamber Opera, a 2008 Yale graduate, Chase Law School and NKU professor Barbara Wagner, class of 73, and Cincinnati attorney Rick Vogel, Yale class of 1968. All welcome to Cincinnati Edition today.
Thanks for having
us here.
Nice to
be here, Mark.
And congratulations on 150 years. It's pretty fascinating, but I have to ask, how did the Yale alumni situation organization in Cincinnati get so big when Yale's nowhere nearby? I mean, how did it get its start here oh so many years ago?
Well, in 1864, Alphonso Taft gathered fellow alumni to in memory of Benjamin Silliman, who was a beloved science teacher who had just passed away in November. And about the next day after they got word of it, he gathered together a group, and they had such a good time being together, they decided to formalize a relationship in the form of the Cincinnati Yale Alumni Club.
And Yale had been around for a little while by 1864
already.
Founded in
1701.
Yeah, so
it's the third oldest university.
But at the time, you have to realize, at that time, Cincinnati was the largest city west of Philadelphia. So in terms of alumni who were closer, they could go back to New Haven and get together. To get back to New Haven in 1864 from Cincinnati was quite a trek. So there was probably more of a critical mass because we were in those days quite a large city.
That's well, and this was kind of almost the Wild West back then as well, or the last realm of civilization before you headed west. So now it came together for the, well, you mentioned to honor Benjamin Silliman,
right.
but it continued because the Yale alumni had such a good time together.
They had a great time, and there was a social purpose, and then they would learn things and keep up to date about what was going on in New Haven and share. If some of the members had been back for reunions, they would share what's going on. It was a way of keeping up and keeping in touch.
So how did Yale get so influential? Because it is one of the Ivy League schools, but I do know that there are plenty of people in and around Cincinnati who went to Yale but have landed here. How did it become so influential?
Well, legacy builds upon itself. When you have alumni in your family in the earlier days, the sons and grandsons would follow along, and there are many examples of that within Cincinnati society. And of course, the university was so strong in education early on, whereas the other schools, like in our Midwest region, hadn't developed themselves at that early time. So there was just a tradition built about going east. And a lot of the students were in independent schools back then. They were going to Eastern schools in their secondary level, and it was just a natural progression to stay up east.
We're talking about the Cincinnati Yale Club, the oldest Yale University alumni organization in the world, celebrating its 150th anniversary. Are you a Yale alumni? Let us know. Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. And there are some very illustrious people who have really been influential in Cincinnati and had a great influence. I was very surprised at the long list of Yaleys who show up and have really altered history here in Cincinnati.
Well, I don't think any of us are historians. We've all had, those of us planning the events for this weekend have had a lot of fun reading some of the history and learning the names. As The Taft name is represented many times. Alfonso Taft, who was one of the co-founders, had five sons who went to Yale, including William Howard Taft, who, before becoming the president of the United States and a Supreme Court justice, he was also a president of the Cincinnati Yale Club, so he got good training, I guess. Rick, you can probably do a better job naming some of the other illustrious Yalies from Cincinnati.
Well, of course, his son Robert Taft, the Mr. Republican, and then his son Robert Taft, the U.S. Senator, his son Bob Taft, the governor, and Hulbert Taft, the publisher of the Cincinnati Times-Star, and some other politicians, Charles P. Taft, former mayor, Willis Grandison, our last Republican mayor in 1971, and many other people made a mark in education and other related fields.
Well, and as a matter of fact, two college presidents here in the area right now are Yale alumni, Dr. Odell Owens at Cincinnati State and Jeffrey Mearns
at
Northern Kentucky University. And I have to say, my former colleague at WGUC, Naomi Lewin, was a Yalie, as is Neil Gittleman, the conductor. So I wanted to ask you, you're kind of new to this. 2008 there,
yeah.
I was like, you know, this is something a little bit different. Now, how is, you know, this experience for you in the Cincinnati Yale Club?
When I first moved back here, even though I had some family, I didn't really know anyone in Cincinnati, so I wanted to find some way of connecting with people and just getting jacked into the community. So I got in touch with the Yale Club and immediately met people of similar interests, and Jonathan Lippincott was someone who I met who's now very involved in a lot of the musical activities I do. So it was a great way to hit the ground running immediately and find a community.
So beyond having a good time in the Cincinnati Yale Club, which they have for the last 150 years, from all accounts I've read, what is the purpose of the club beyond celebrating the brotherhood and sisterhood of having gone to Yale?
Well, early on, we had a scholarship fund, and we would solicit contributions from our local community. And more recently, there's a Yale Day of Service, and I think Barbara can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would say certainly in the last 20 or 30 years, the evolution has included a lot more both education and service in the community. So one of the activities the Yale Club does is the Day of Service, which is every spring, and we find a charitable organization to devote time to and try and bring out volunteers to work. It's been everything from cleaning up trash and doing landscaping to helping at food banks. But it's consistent with the overall approach of Yale's National Alumni Association, which is now called Being Ambassadors for Yale. So there are, you know, the social part is certainly part of Yale clubs, but I just went on a service trip to India this summer with the National Alumni Association, which included everything from doctors and teachers to filmmakers working in a rural village in India for 10 days.
So when Yalies meet each other and find out they're from Yale, how does the conversation go?
Well, there's a secret handshake first.
Of course there is.
Yeah. And then it's usually we ask, what college were you in? Because Yale has a college system much like the houses at Hogwarts and Harry Potter. And there's no actual personality affiliation between being in one college or another. We have a 1 in 12 chance of finding a very strong connection with someone off the bat.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. And if you want to go back in the history of Yale, did I understand or read somewhere that Alfonso Taft initiated the famous Skull and Crossbones Club?
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. Sorry, not a Yale.
Founded in 1832. Yes, he's one of the original founders. And William Howard Taft, his son, and many other, Charles P. Taft, a lot of the other Taft families were members as well over the years.
We're talking about the Cincinnati Yale Club here on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can join the conversation and give a shout-out for your Yale background by calling 513-419-7100. And the celebration for the 150th anniversary is a musical program today, rather this evening, and then a luncheon and a dinner tomorrow. Talk about the activities and how the public can come and see some of this happening.
I think Isaac will talk about the music tonight.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna quiz you about the music for sure.
Got to make sure I know it.
So talk about what's happening.
So we've got a musical program that starts with a series of fanfares written by another Yale alumni who is also in music named Bryce Dessner, who's most known for his work with the band The National, which is a rock band for the most part, but he also has a so-called legitimate classical training as a composer. So he's written a set of fanfares that deal with music and issues from the Civil War era. So we're looking at 1864 was a time when the club was founded, Civil War was going on, Lincoln presidency. So a lot of these pieces depict Lincoln. So we're going to be dealing with brass players from the Queen City Chamber Opera performing these. And then after that, there's a program of Cole Porter's songs. Apparently, he wrote a song called Cincinnati, which is, as far as I know, it's still lost. They have the words to it, but the music is never quite turned up. So someone has a PhD in musicology waiting when they find that. But have they found it?
We'll find out tonight.
Come. It's going to be the world premiere.
It's another Yale alum who's organized this, Phil DeGreg, who will be his group will be putting on the Cole Porter songs, and we've heard there may be a little bit of Beatles music thrown in as well.
And, of course, people should know Cole Porter was a Yale graduate, class of 1913, and the Beatles came in 1964. This is the 50th anniversary of their appearance at Cincinnati Gardens, so it's kind of a tie-in locally.
And 64 would have been the centennial of the Cincinnati Yale Club.
The centennial of the Cincinnati
Yale Club. Oh, so the Beatles came to Cincinnati to play for the Yale Club?
Fine. We wish. But I want to quickly review the symposium on Saturday, which is during the lunch period at 11 a.m. We have a lecturer, Jay Gitlin. He's going to talk about The Frontier Starts Here, Cincinnati and the Study of the American West at Yale. And then at 1:30, we're going to have Michael Moran talk about the town and gown relationships, Yale and what Cincinnati can learn from each other. And we're also going to have, during the noontime, Judy Ann Schiff, who's the archivist of Yale, and she's going to talk about trailblazers, teachers, and beachers. Beachers, I would guess, refers to the Beecher family at Lane Seminary, Harriet Beecher Stowe and her father and her brother, and the Yale connections to the university archives. Then it's all finished tomorrow night with the appearance of Yale's 23rd president, Peter Salovey.
And that's a little unusual for the Yale president to show up, right?
Well, Yale presidents have touched base with the Cincinnati Yale Club at some point during their tenure. There's a long tradition of that, but not frequently.
So we should mention that the program tonight is at the Queen City Club, and public is welcome to come. There's a slight charge, and you can find details on this website of the Cincinnati Yale Club. Probably easiest to just say Google Cincinnati Yale Club.
Well, we have a link on our website, WVXU.org.
It's simple. So it's CincinnatiYaleClub.org. Yep.
And the program tomorrow with the three speakers is at the Museum Center.
Now, we didn't talk about what you're doing for the music tonight, did we? Or is that the fanfares
of
the Queen City Brass? Okay.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I wanted to make sure I gave you the right shake there. Well, a question came in via email. It says the Harvard Club of Cincinnati was founded in 1869, 5 years after. So do the clubs have the same friendly rivalry as the schools themselves?
We do. We meet for the Harvard-Yale game, and each group roots their school on fiercely and enthusiastically. But we also have joint programs together. We'll have a luncheon speaker. We've had picnics together. It's a friendly rivalry.
Well, I was going to say, I know some Harvard people that aren't so friendly about that rivalry.
That's correct.
Especially when it comes to rowing. I'm a rower, and I know the scullers and sweepers.
I think it was 1852, really the Harvard-Yale rowing meet, the first athletic competition in college sports.
And
it was big.
Very, very, very big.
But I'm a little unusual. I'm also past president of the Harvard Club because I went to Harvard Law School the year 2000.
And we still talk to him.
I was going to say, and the Yale Club doesn't do that. Well, how about other prominent Yaleys here in Cincinnati? Other names that people might recognize? I mentioned Neil Gettleman and Dr. Odell Owens and
Gregory Mertz.
Aaron Betsky.
That's just at the Art Museum. Yeah.
Director of the Art Museum. Charles Fleischman, who recently passed away, was a philanthropist in Cincinnati.
John Pepper, who was the CEO of Procter & Gamble. Jim Anderson, who's recently retired as president of Children's Hospital.
A lot of people with a lot of influence here in, mm-hmm. in developing the city. And it, was there any point in the Cincinnati-Yale club's history where they came together to help the city in some big way that would be notable historically? Well, or is it just the constant service that you provide?
It's a constant. So many of the members contribute to the city on their own and in other venues. You wouldn't really know that they were Yale Club members, but service is an important part of what the mission of Yale alumni have, and as well as continuing education and just community contribution.
And one of our most active activities in terms of the number of alumni who participate is what's called the Alumni Schools Committee. We interview students from this area who apply to go to Yale, have information meetings, managed to interview almost 100% of the applicants, which is very difficult because Yale has over 30,000 applicants a year. Oof. In Cincinnati, last year we had about 150 applicants, and I have I coordinate that program, and I currently have about 50 alumni volunteers who help do those interviews.
Oh, they're great. They're really because the admissions process is difficult when you have that many people, and you can't just reduce everyone to numbers on paper. So it really helps a lot to get to meet with an applicant and just talk with them for 10 minutes. You get a really good idea for what they are beyond just their application.
I wanted to ask, because we only have a minute or two left, I wanted to ask if that's you mentioned scholarships earlier, and I did notice in the history about the scholarship that was established. Is that still going on as well?
Well, the university has assumed management of it, but there are actually individual named scholarships from Cincinnati families that contributed to that. There was the Rowe Scholarship, for instance, the Clark Scholarship, the Hollister, and the Dale. And those are names from Cincinnati past. And a number of years ago, the university encouraged us to make contributions directly to the university, and our separate fund was turned over to them for management.
But there are many funds, so many of those funds are supposed to go specifically to support students from the Cincinnati area. And regardless, I think it's important for listeners to know that Yale, and it's benefited by the fact that it has such a nice, healthy endowment. Their current financial aid policy is if you come from a family of less than earning less than $60,000, you go to Yale for free. I think this year, the statistics, the current freshman class, 14% of the class will be the first member to graduate from a four-year college in their family.
Wow.
So Yale is doing really broad outreach, not just more of the sons and grandsons and great-grandsons of the former Yale alumni.
Well, I want to ask you, Isaac, about the younger members of the Cincinnati Yale Club. I mean, I guess you're pretty new to this, being 2008.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point did you decide to join this association?
Pretty much immediately, because
really?
It was a great way to meet people as soon as I landed here. And there are a good number of young alumni. I think there's another organization of Ivy alumni in general that meet for drinks or for meals. Not just from Yale, because that produces an even larger body of people, and it's just a great way to meet people immediately.
And the Yale Club offers a face-to-face engagement. Of course, the younger or more recent graduates are into the social network and the internet and shared interest groups, that way of communicating. But this offers face-to-face networking possibilities.
Well, I mean, with that the social media aspect, I mean, our younger alumni, more likely or just as likely to join the Yale Club?
No, I think the fewer of them are comfortable with the social dynamic. I think more and more comfortable on the internet and social media, but I think it grows on you if they give it a chance.
Well, it sounds like you do wonderful work, and I appreciate you all coming here and sharing the celebration that's happening this weekend. Thank you all for
you,
being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Mark.
I've been talking to Isaac Selya, Yale class of 2008, Barbara Wagner, class of 1973, Rick Vogel, class of 1968. The Yale Club of Cincinnati's 150th anniversary dinner takes place tomorrow evening, but there is a musical program tonight and also a luncheon tomorrow. You can visit WVXU.org to learn more about the Cincinnati Yale Club and these activities celebrating their 150th. That's available right now. From the halls of academia to the great outdoors, a preview of next weekend's 11th annual Great Outdoor Weekend on the way next on Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.